am also a sinner, as well as these prisoners are. I'm in need of grace.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
David, thank you so much for joining us today. Would you start off by telling us a little bit about your own personal story? Did you grow up in a Christian home, or how did you come to know Jesus?
My childhood home, there my parents respected Christianity. They were members of the Finnish Lutheran Church, but they were not personally church attendants. We went to church just once a year, but my parents let me go to Sunday school. We lived near a prison because my father was working in a prison. And there, at that time, there were some kind of revivals in prison. The prisoners came to Christ. And there were also, for children, Sunday school, and all the children from the village went to the school at that time. It is far away. Yeah. It is so many decades ago. And I remember I was about 5 or 6 years old when I understood there in Sunday school, with the wonderful Bible stories that I heard, that I am also a sinner, as well as these prisoners are. I'm in need of grace. And I prayed there with those Sunday school teachers that Jesus would come to my life and forgive my sins. Mm-hmm. And I remember that it gave me an enormous joy. Mm-hmm. So that I remember that when I went to bed, I was there praying and praising Jesus that he came to my life. Yes, and
did your parents think that was strange? I also became a Christian when I was 8, and my parents were, and they thought it was very strange.
Yes, in fact, my mom has told me later that there was a neighbor quite near living us, and he was sick, a man there, and I went there every day to pray for him. And he told it to my mom. She let it go. And also I remember a case when I came from the Sunday school, and the director of the prison came by bicycle, and I stopped him and I asked that, "Do you believe in Jesus?"
How old were you?
I was 5 or 6. If you do not believe in Jesus, you can't go to heaven. And he contacted my mom and said that should you take baby away from the Sunday school, that she would not lose her mind. But my mom let the Sunday school go. And so my parents, they respected very much Christianity. Mm. And because they saw when a prisoner came to Christ, his life changed, and he never came back to prison. Okay, so it was respected at that time. Then, when I was teenager, I had some kind of problems with my faith perhaps it is a long story, but since 16, I have read regularly Bible, and I have been in church life. And
I think that's quite a common story, isn't it? It's quite often you get to your teenage years and you either rebel slightly or you start questioning things. Yes, so it's not a new, I think most of us have been through that.
Yes, and because I had some friends, some of them were communists and so on. So I read Mao's Red Book, and I read, in fact, the English Quran, Finnish Quran, and I had to think that what is the right way to think? Does the Bible is the Bible enough? do I really believe in what is written in the Bible?
So what convinced you eventually that this was the thing you wanted to give your life to?
Yes, it is. In fact, I have to tell that when I was 16, I watched from TV a movie from Pasolini, Italian movie maker Pasolini, about the Book of Matthew. And it was that kind of movie where all what was put in Jesus' mouth, it was straight from the Bible. And it made a great impact on me. And I started at the same night to read the Gospel of Matthew, and then I read also the Acts, and I prayed that if you, Jesus, really are listening to me and alive and resurrected as the apostles were so believed that he has risen from the dead, that I prayed that I could also live that kind of life as the apostle lived, so that they had such a contact to Jesus, living Jesus. And he answered the prayer again, as I was in Sunday school. So he has been faithful during my life.
And you've had a very long and distinguished career. You trained as a medical doctor, you went into politics, you're a Finnish Member of Parliament currently. Now, you've been in the news in recent years because you've been fighting a court case because of your Christian beliefs. Would you just tell us, for those people that are not familiar, briefly, what has happened?
Yes, it has been a very surprising process. I could never have believed that I would be in this kind of situation in Finland. 6 years ago, June 2019, I was shocked when I heard that the church, which I belong to, decided to support the Helsinki Pride event. And I thought that perhaps I should resign the church, or what should I do? I was praying, and then I got a very clear vision that it is not my time to leave the church, but try to speak so that those who are sleeping could be awake. And I took a photo from the Bible, from the book of Romans, where Apostle Paul teaches about the same-sex relationships, first chapter, and made a Twitter update, which I directed to the leadership of the church, that how does this fit to what you have just announced. After that, some citizen made a criminal complaint, and police started to investigate the case. Then when it came to public, because I'm a public figure in Finland, then there became more and more criminal complaints about my writings, about a book that I have written over 20 years ago, and radio programs, TV programs, and so on. Because I have been all the time open about my faith and about what the Bible teaches about these issues. And then I was in police interrogations, altogether 13 hours sitting in a small police station, and the police was asking me questions about the Bible, about the Book of Romans, to explain these verses and so on. It was really absurd, because just a few years before I had been the Minister of Interior, in charge of police, and then I was sitting there interrogated about my convictions, and there was a joke that Päivi Räsänen is once again going to the police station to have a Bible study with the police. Yes, but the police didn't find any illegal in my writings, and But the prosecutor general ordered to continue the process. They filed up the charges. I was in the district court. I won it. I get acquittal. But the prosecutor appealed to the court of appeal. I won again. Altogether, 6 judges, they didn't find crimes in my writings. They didn't find any hate speech. And I have not spoken any ugly speech about, for example, LGBT people. But then the prosecutor again decided to appeal to the Supreme Court of Finland. And it has been now over one year there. And I'm waiting any day the decision, because it should be only 1 year to give the
So do you have to go back to court again, or will they just hand down a decision remotely?
In fact, I don't know. Because I have asked to be heard. Mm. I would like to defend myself, because I have seen that it has been very, very fruitful and good to be there in the court and explain that what is it about, what is it about when I speak about these biblical doctrines and biblical issues. And at the same time, it has given an enormous possibility to tell the gospel, to tell what is the solution to the problem of sin. That Jesus has died on the cross, and we all are sinners. We all are in need of grace.
Wow, that's a lot to have hanging over you for 6 long years. Yeah. And during that time, you're still an MP. That's all going alongside it. How do you manage that? Has it ever caused you to not stumble in your faith, but is it difficult?
It has taken a lot of my time, of course. And there have been some dark moments. There have been some situations where, for example, it has been quite painful when some people who are quite near you, they have tried to say that you should be silent or something like that. But on the other side, I have got a lot of support, prayers, and so much love from Christians, and also support for my freedom of speech from many other people who say that they disagree, but still they think that I have a right to express my convictions. And what is most important, I have had a very strong feeling all the time that this all process is in God's hands. There is a purpose for this, and this has given an enormous opportunity to bring to public in Finland, to public the teachings of the Bible about gender and marriage, and what is still more important, also the message of gospel. I have had live broadcasts from the courthouse, from press conferences, and all our media have printed these Bible verses in the newspaper, secular media, and what has encouraged me most is that there have been so many people who have told that then when they have listened to these radio programs or TV channels, and I have there told, given also the invitation that if you do not yet know Jesus, you can pray and he comes to your life. And many have told that they have found Christ. They have, after that radio program, they have prayed, and Jesus has come to their life. And so I think that when God gives this kind of hardships, he has some purpose to it. It is the vehicle that he can use then to his own purposes, to give the gospel, the message of the Bible, to people who have not yet heard it.
It is very interesting that, well, we know the Bible says that God uses all things for the good, but yeah, it's amazing when you get to see those encouraging glimpses of him doing that in your own story, even in real time, even when it's really tough.
Is your faith being challenged? At Premier Christianity Magazine, we explore the biggest questions with real life stories of transformation, deep analysis of current affairs, and theology that you can apply to everyday life. So broaden your faith and encounter God in new and unexpected ways, and be part of a community that's passionate about living faithfully. Subscribe today at premierchristianity.com.
For those people who might not be familiar with Finland, just paint us a brief picture of the political landscape there in terms of Christian freedoms. Like, prior to this happening, you kind of expressed a little bit of surprise. So would it be fair to say that generally, historically, it's been fairly open to Christianity, or is it quite a hostile environment?
Mm. Yes, we in Finland, we have long roots in Christianity. We have had a very strong Lutheran church. When I was young, about 90% of people belonged to the Lutheran church. Of course, they were not all believers in their heart, but still we have had historically respect to Christianity and Christian values. But now I would say in 20-30 years, the atmosphere has changed a lot. And there is going on some kind of breaking of these values, and some kind of war against the Christian values. I would say that also the LGBT advocates and networks are very, very strong, and they are challenging the Christian view of man. Mm. And I would say that, for example, young people nowadays, they do not know who they are, the concept of human being, what is it to be a human being, what is it to be a man or woman. They are very embarrassed with these issues, and so but if we think about the freedom of religion and freedom of faith, we have also, of course, we have in our constitution, we have these freedoms. So and also I appeal in my defense to these freedoms, but in practice, the most dangerous restriction to these freedoms is the self-censorship, that the Christians are too silent. They are afraid to express their faith. And that's why I want to encourage that now it is time to speak. It is time to be open about your faith and tell the good message, gospel, to people whenever it is possible. But about the church, I would say that our church leadership is nowadays, the bishops, they are very progressive, liberal-minded. For example, they support the same-sex marriages, and they do not anymore believe on the Bible in such a way that it is quite worrying. But we have inside the church, we call them revival movements. They are organizations that are born in revivals in our history, and they work quite independently. We have our own pastors and our own Sunday services and so on. Mm. So this kind of situation, I suppose that the Finnish Lutheran Church will in the future divide. It will have the division because there are so strong contradictions inside the church nowadays.
Sounds like much the same as what's going on in the UK in the Anglican Church, all of those wranglings. Yeah, and you spoke a little bit there about the difficulty for people when they are in a position, especially in a public position, of actually being courageous enough to share what they believe to be true about what the Bible says. And again, in the UK, there's been lots of different politicians who have come under fire for expressing traditional Christian values. Was that something you ever struggled with? Did you ever question, do I want to stick my head above the fence and do this? And how did you cope? Has there been any negative reaction to you as a politician, or has it been quite positive?
So I have been 30 years in politics, and for me, when I went to politics, for me the most important thing was to fight for Christian values. In fact, just the pro-life issues as a medical doctor, the issue of abortion, it was the reason that I went to politics. So I have, from the beginning of my career, I have defended Christian values, the value of life and family politics and so on. There have been times when I have got criticism, and also, for example, in my party, some people have thought that what I speak, it gives bad reputation to the party, and they have asked me to be silent or so on. But I have had from the beginning very strong calling that this is my calling. So I have trusted that God takes care of the consequences. And I have to say that it has been a miracle that I'm still in parliament, because this is my eighth term. And when I started, I thought that it is only one term, and then I have spoken everything, and then I'm out. But now it is already the eighth term, and in fact, in last elections I got more votes than before, because even though that I was in the legal process.
God's obviously got more work for you to do then.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the UK we're talking quite a lot at the moment about this thing that's been called the Quiet Revival, and an uptick in interest in Christianity, particularly among young people and particularly among young men. And I've also seen some news reports coming out of Finland that suggest that similar things might be happening along those lines in your country. What's your take on that? Do you see that happening in the church in Finland?
Yes, it is marvelous that something like that is also happening in Finland. I think that there must be some God's time now to these countries that have gone so far from the gospel. And for example, I go quite often. I'm quite often invited, for example, to youth events to speak about many issues, and nowadays there are a lot of young people, and especially young men, and also what is the podcasts among young men. They are in YouTube, they are very very popular. Also in Finland we have many totally secular podcast producers, and they quite often ask me there to speak, and I can speak very straightly about these issues, but because they are so interested, yeah. They are interested to hear that. Please tell what does this mean, and they want to hear about the Bible. They want to hear about gospel and salvation and these issues, and what is. I think that this is also one channel that has opened. These young men who are keeping these podcasts, they are very young, some of them, and only 17 or 18. And they have also, some of them have come to Parliament to take podcasts from there. And also there I have heard that their listeners have told that they have found Jesus. Because they have sent me some messages, and so I think that this is a very, very peculiar, wonderful time in European countries. What is happening? I hope that this would be some kind of revival coming.
I hope so too. Yeah, I find it fascinating, especially the young man element of it. When I was a Christian, a teenager in the 90s, that there seemed to be. We all joked there was never any boys in church. It was all girls. My own daughters now, they're 17 and 19. My youngest is at college. They have a Christian union there. I went to visit a few weeks ago to share my testimony. It was all boys. It was phenomenal. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I was like, you're so lucky. Look at this. Yeah. But yeah, it's quite an interesting phenomenon, and lots of people are suggesting that maybe it's like a backlash to the whole toxic masculinity Andrew Tate thing. Other people are urging a little bit of caution, like, is this a sort of a path towards Christian nationalism and the rise of that in Europe? What's your take on that?
Yes, it is. At first, I think that it is the Holy Spirit is working
Amen.
On. It is the best explanation, but perhaps because we have just now that kind of atmosphere that is very confusing to young people, because there is not anymore some clear definition what to be. Man or what to be a woman, and especially the manhood is quite often interpreted as toxic or something so negative. And if we look at the Bible, it is not negative. it is positive to be male and also female. God created us in that way, and I think that perhaps this is one, because the young men, they know that it is not true that what they feel as to be and to grow as a male, that it is a bad thing and negative thing, as the feminists may say. And perhaps this is some kind of backlash, and they find a better explanation from the Bible, that they are created as the image of God, and there is a clear purpose for men as well as for women, in, for example, in family and in life. So I think that it is a better explanation, so that you understand that there is a purpose for your life in positive way. Perhaps one reason.
Yeah, that's really good. All right, so our time together is drawing to an end. So one last question. If you had a word of encouragement to share with Christians who may be concerned or worried about standing up for their faith in whatever environment that they're in, what would that be?
I would encourage Christians to be open about their faith, and if you get some opposition or criticism against your faith, or even persecution in some instances, these are the moments where God takes especially loving care of you, because he has given such wonderful promises. If you are insulted for the sake of Christ, you are blessed, because the spirit of glory and God is upon you, as it is said in the Bible. And also, God uses these situations in his purposes. Just these situations where you are opposed and when you share the gospel are in God's hands to do something amazing. For me, I would say when I was young and I read from the Bible, from the Gospel of Matthew, which was important for me, the chapter 10, verse 17, where Jesus tells that beware of men, draw you to courts for my sake. I couldn't believe that something that would happen in my life, but there is a promise also that he gives the word, and for the witness to them and to Gentiles. And so he uses them so that we get opportunities to witness about Jesus. So you don't have to be afraid of these kind of situations, but trust on God. Whatever the consequences are, they are in his hands. And he is so abundant in goodness, overflowing in goodness.
Amen.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.